One of the passengers of the Mayflower is reported to have said, written this as he was on the ship. He wrote a couple of things. One of them was this. He said, "Just as the sun can be blotted out by an eclipse, so moods of pessimism and doubt can plunge us into spiritual darkness. At times our situation may seem so desperate that we think even Almighty God can't carry us through." You know the story of the Mayflower, a small band of people on a very small ship in a very, very big ocean going to a place they weren't entirely certain what they would find. He was a little concerned, maybe a little gloomy. I would have been, I think. Well, his attitude was recorded this way as he further wrote these words. He says, "If we ever make a plantation in New England, God works a miracle. Especially considering how scant we shall be of victuals." Those are victuals, for those of you who don't know what victuals are. And if you don't know what victuals are, that's food, okay? "And worst of all, ununited amongst ourselves. If I should write you of all the things that foretell our ruin, I should overcharge my weak head and grieve your tender heart. Only this I pray you, prepare for evil tidings of us every day. I see not in reason how we can escape. Pray for us instantly." You ever feel that way sometimes? You think, man, the sky's falling and the world's falling apart and the life is a mess and I don't know how it's going to work out. If you were on that boat headed across the Atlantic in 1620, you might have felt that way, thinking, what in the world have I gotten myself into? You with me? And yet we know the outcome of that, don't we? We know the result of that journey was a group of people, almost all of them made it, and most of them survived the first winter to establish a colony that helped develop a country eventually that we're in. Now today I want to invite you to turn to what I think is the second most favorite psalm. I told my girls about this the other day or yesterday, and they said, what's the favorite psalm? Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's one that most of us would go to. Psalm 100, however, is by most people would be considered the second most favorite psalm in all the writings. It's the psalm here that we find a writer laying out the reality of a person who says, "I'm going to follow God, I'm following God, I'm living my life with him, I don't know where he's leading, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to be thankful for whatever comes my way." And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, because in many ways what he's talking about is attitude. I think about that passenger on the Mayflower and think, man, he had a negative attitude. And we all struggle with that, don't we, at times? We all can go negative at times. We think, man, it's just going to be bad. But what if instead we would choose the better pathway, not the negative pathway, but the positive one, not the one that says the world is falling apart, but the one that says God's doing great things, not the one that says there's no hope, but the one that says, I know who the hope is. The writer of the psalm, I think, lays out a very clear pathway for those of us who would say, I'm going to live a life of thankfulness. And here at the end of Thanksgiving week, I felt like this was a great psalm for us to just stop and contemplate for a moment before we continue our Christmas shopping. You know what I'm saying? Some of you have already started. I know we have. So let's read the whole psalm together, and then I just want to talk to you about four things that come from this psalm that reveals this pathway of thankfulness. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good." Oh, the Lord is good. "His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Father God, I pray that as we take a few moments and look at this psalm, that we would be reminded of the better pathway, the greater pathway, not the pathway that says the sky is falling and the world's terrible and everything's bad, but the pathway that says, because I follow Christ, because I follow God, I am on a pathway that is way better And my life can reflect that and show that in my heart. In your name we pray. Amen. Just four things this morning. I got my watch fixed, so we'll be good. There will be no A&M LSU repeat this morning. Those of you who are A&M fans, congratulations. And those of you who are LSU fans, condolences. Seven overtimes. We won't go there this morning, probably. Four things I want you to see. Number one is this. A person who chooses the life of thankfulness, this less than commonly traveled path, is a person that reveals God through acts of service. Look at the verse 1 and 2 one more time with me. Make a what? A joyful noise. To the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Now, this first aspect I want you to see is this life that says, I'm going to choose to rejoice in God. I'm going to reveal God through my life. I'm going to reveal him in my acts of service. Now, the psalmist is looking broader at the issue than I think sometimes we do, because he's looking at the big picture here. He's thinking about the big idea of our lives. See, sometimes there's a temptation among us to narrow the experience of the Christian life to what we do on Sunday morning. What we do when we gather in this room, when we gather in a small room, that's our service to God. To see service as what we do gathering together, though, I believe is a disservice to the concept of what the Bible talks about. Because we would be remiss, my friends, if we didn't realize that while this is part of that, there's way more to it than this, isn't there? There's way more to the Christian experience than just gathering on Sunday morning and saying good morning, shaking our hands when we're told to, greeting each other, saying good to see you, how was your Thanksgiving, did you eat too much like I did, how was your week, how's your plan this week, and we move on. I think God has more to it than that. This call is for us to come into the courts, the presence of God with what? I like this because, you know, sometimes I'm a little off key. A joyful what? Noise. You know, over the years I've heard people say, well, I can't sing to God. I got a terrible voice. How's your heart? How's your heart? Because really what he's looking for is not the quality of your tone, but your heart. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. The idea is that we come together in a sense of not just worship, but a sense of service, of walking together, of ministering together, of caring together. The thankful life realizes this moment that what we do in this place is part of it, but it's not all of it. This idea of acts of service where we go outside the four walls of the church and we say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I know y'all probably get tired of me talking about mission activities and things, but I've been on a number of mission trips into different places. And I want you to know some of the most difficult mission trips have been those where there's been bad attitudes in the group. But can I tell you something? Some of the best ones are when we are all serving the Lord out of a passion for him. And that experience, when you're saying, well, that's not worship, is it? That's not serving the Lord, is it? No, but that's act of service. This idea of serving the Lord, being in his presence, doing the things he's called us to do, of working together with camaraderie and teamwork and saying, man, it is good to be in the presence of God. You're going, presence of God, can you do that on a mission field? Oh, you can. Can you do that on a mission field in Bowie County? You can. Can you do that on a mission field around the world? Of course you can. What I want you to understand is the idea is a person who says, I am going to be the person of God that he's called me to be, and I'm going to live my life of thankfulness, and I'm going to reveal that by what I do, not just in here, but out there. Coming into his presence with singing, but coming into his presence with an attitude of gratitude. Of gratefulness. Here's the thought I want you to see from this point, and it's this: a person who's living out a truly thankful life lives in such a way that God is revealed in distinctive Christian activities, meaning worship settings like this, and in life out there. It's not an either or, it's a both and as we serve him. So first, the thankful heart reveals God through acts of service. Second is right there in verse 3. They relish the ongoing godly relationship. I really wrestled, or I might say wrestled, with how to write this thought because there's so much here. But look at the text, and then I'll try to explain what my thought is here. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are what? We're His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Let me tell you what, until I get to that last phrase, I'm pretty good. I'm thinking, that sounds pretty good. I'm His people. He made me. I'm part of His. And then He calls me a sheep. Any of you been around sheep much? They're not really the nicest animals to be around. They're kind of nasty. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what they're good for, don't you? Well, two things. I'll start to say just one thing. They're good for two things. One, they're good for wool, right? You can shear them, and you can make clothes out of them. You can also cut them up and eat them and have lamb chops. But after that, what are they good for? So I see the compliment's not there. I'm going, God, you're not going to like shear me, are you? You're not going to cut me. Y'all with me? Okay, listen. The aspect I want you to see here of this living the thankful life is this, is it's a growing realization that not only am I created by God, but that I'm walking with God. Just like a herd of sheep know the voice of the shepherd, so do those of us who know God hear Him and what? Respond to Him. We listen to His voice. I'm phrasing it as a thankful person relishes the ongoing godly relationship as we continue to grow in Him. And I suspect there's about four sub-thoughts that I think we need to grasp here about living thankfully. The first one is this: you and I were made for relationship. We were made for holy relationship. Some of you go, well, not me. I'm just here to live my life and take care of my kids, take care of my grandkids, and then someday die. I want you to hear this Thanksgiving weekend. God created you for fellowship. Not just come to know Him, but come to know Him and continue to know Him and continue to grow in a relationship with Him. I went up to the youth department this morning and helped out a little bit with their opening session, and we talked, some of the boys and I did, about this transformation that God does in our hearts. You know, we come to know Christ at a point, but it doesn't stay there, does it, guys? It goes on, and it changes and transforms us day by day by day, and then someday, hopefully a long way from now, what happens? God then eventually takes us home to be with Him. That relationship is complete for eternity at that point. And that's what I want you to see. The God of all creation stoops down to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. And I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. That God cares enough about me. See, God doesn't need me to be complete. God doesn't need you to be complete. God doesn't need us to accomplish His purposes. And yet, what does He do? He says, I want you to be in relationship with me, to have a fellowship with me, to have a connection with you. And I want you to understand, a person who is thankful says, I don't deserve it, but God loves me and thank you. Another thought I want you to see about this ongoing relationship is this. God made us from what? Nothing. Nothing. You remember, well, you can't remember because you weren't. Do you realize there was a time when you weren't, but God was? Can I get big picture here with me? You know, we sometimes get pretty full of ourselves, don't we? We start thinking, man, it's all about me and all about my life and what I do, and I'm this and I'm this and I'm this and I'm going to do this. We all do this. But step back for a minute as a thankful person and say, and grasp the thought that there was a point where God caused you to come into existence. You go, But my mom and dad didn't like each other. My parents weren't married. My parents weren't this. They didn't this. We don't know who my daddy is. It doesn't matter. The God of creation knew the creation of you. And the thankful person says, God, thank you for making me. Not, well, my life's a mess. I'm terrible. I'm awful. I'm worthless. Look at my background. Look at my past. No, stop and say, look what God did in me. Third, we're made by God without any help. You know, do you know that sheep are made without the activity of the sheep itself. You're going, wait a second, Patrick, don't you know how sheep are made? Yeah, I do. Hang in there with me. Ultimately, who causes all of creation to be able to do what has to happen? God does. We are the ones he creates. The big idea is this, is God is the divine power created all alone. He creates all alone without any of our help. He didn't need us. He spoke the world into being. It is and it remains. And it's a realization that is just really stunning when you stop to think about it. And it's an awesome truth that's intended to shape our worldview dramatically. A thankful person relishes the power and graciousness of God that he moved in such a way that we are even here and can have this relationship. And then fourth, who holds us together? Oh, I'm in charge of my destiny. Okay. Who's ultimately in charge of your destiny? God is, right? And you know, sheep are kind of interesting. I've been over the Middle East a couple times, and you see a lot of sheep out there, and they're just not bright animals. They have this tendency to wander off. You know, there's even a parable about the lost sheep, you know. They don't ever talk about the lost horse. They talk about the lost sheep. Why? Because sheep wander off. But this sheep goes off. And I want you to understand there's a thought here that we need to grasp, and it's God that's the one who brings us together. He is the shepherd, and we are his sheep. He's the one that calls our voice, and we answer. He's the one that speaks to us, and we follow. And the thankful person says, man, I'm glad we got a good shepherd who calls me. So what do we do with this relishing ongoing? Here's what I want you to kind of ruminate with. Is the truly thankful person relishes this godly relationship on multiple levels. We relish it from the big picture idea that God is the creator. We relish it from the point that he stepped down into our lives and invites us into intimate relationship. We recognize that he affects and impacts where we are born. Aren't you glad we were born in a country like America? You could have been born in Guatemala. You could have been born in Russia. But God caused you and me to be born here. We recognize that and we relish that and we are thankful for that. Third, we also, as thankful individuals, are ones who realize the amazing greatness of our God. Thursday, in my reading, devotional reading, the daily memory verse that popped up on my reading plan was this verse. Enter his courts with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. So the third aspect I want you to see is this realization of the amazing greatness of our God, the bigness of our God. And while it's perfectly acceptable to understand that God is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and there's a thought there that we don't want to ignore, but we also need to remember the eternal transcendence of God. That he's God, and we're not. That he's greater than we could ever even begin to imagine. His ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are really not like our thoughts. He really is from a different reality than we are. And when the psalmist describes this, he says that the created enter the gates with thanksgiving. And catch the thought here, that the created enter the presence of the eternal. And you stop and go, oh. Have you had those moments in life where you've, all of a sudden, because usually it's more than that, but a moment happens where you go, wow. God is immense and great and different than me. Notice another thought I want you to see about these gates and courts. Do you notice the limiting factor? Who's allowed to come in there? Doesn't say, does it? I think what the psalmist is trying to help us understand is that these gates are open to people of all, the gates are open to all people, regardless of their background, regardless of their history, regardless of where they've been, what they've done, what they look like, whether they're wealthy or poor, whether they're black or white, whether they're male or female. He just says, come on, enter my courts. Talk about greatness. God is able to relate not only to the one who's committed to following him, but he's also able to relate to those of us who are where? Far off. He says, hey, you, come to me. Our God is great, and that's something that a thankful person realizes, that he is amazing. So here's the thought I want you to kind of think about. God has given so much. He's given us so much, and as a thankful person, we want to grasp the greatness of our God. A sense of wonder. A sense of awe. One more thought. Verse 5. A thankful person also receives. Receives the blessings of God. You're going, well, yeah, I'm with you. Listen. But look what this verse says. For the Lord is what? Good. Stop and think about that phrase a second, would you? Is that a description, a phrase that could come from your heart that is heartfelt this morning, this Thanksgiving week? The Lord is good. Has the Lord been good to you? Has the Lord been good to us? And we sit around and go, oh, well, things are not as good as they could be. I always find it interesting how we as Americans can have so much and yet complain that we don't have more. We went out to Black Friday shopping on Thursday. Yeah, that's right. I go just to watch the crazy people. Okay, we didn't buy a few things, but anyway, you go out and look in there, and they're fighting over stuff, and they're wanting to get this wonderful, amazing TV. Have you ever had a TV last forever? I haven't. We've had to replace several of them. Why? Because they break. But we that's the stuff we focus on, isn't it? But the thankful person steps back and says, I'm thankful that God allows me to serve him. I'm thankful that God has an ongoing relationship with me. I'm thankful that God is a great God and he's a wonderful God. But also I want to receive and be content with the blessings he's given me. There's a streak within us. And I say us because I'm including you in this statement. There's a streak within us that we have that we want to do it ourselves. We want to rely on ourselves. We want to be sufficient on ourselves. We want to handle it ourselves. And we really want to look at God and say, God, I appreciate your offer, but I can take care of me. I'm here today to tell you I'm thankful that God takes care of me because I can't take care of me on my own. For the Lord is what? Good. His steadfast love, it comes and goes. It endures what? For generations. You know, I like going to cemeteries. That's a weird statement, isn't it? Our family, my family, the Hunter family, has a plot up in western Arkansas. And you can walk out in this cemetery and you can see my mother's grave's there. My dad's will be there someday. My grandparents are there. My aunt and my uncle are over another part. There's a great-grandmother. There's another great-grandmother. There's another great-grandfather. There's a great-grandfather. There's all kinds of family. And I look at those kind of things, and I think, man. And I think of their lives and the things that they did for God, that God allowed them to do in the kingdom of God. And I think, wow, God's steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to what? All generations. Then I look at my kids and I think to myself, what's God gonna do with them in the future? Y'all with me? How can a thankful person not receive those blessings and say, God, thank you for working in my life? God's goodness and faithful extends to generation after generation, but we have to receive it. We have to allow it into our lives. We have to take it and let it become part of who we are. And by choosing to live that life and receive those blessings of God, the perspective of a thankful person is centered where? Not on themselves. This is the key, guys. But it's focused on who? It's on God working in us. I was talking with somebody this morning about life and how decisions result in different outcomes. And you think about, if I'd have made a decision in 94 to do this, where would my life be today? If you'd have made a decision or been assigned differently by an organization, where would your life might be today? And you stop and think, but in the end, does it really matter which place you end up in, as long as it's where God has you and that God's bringing the blessings? So here's the thought I want you to see. This is my challenge to you as we finish up. A truly thankful person receives the immense blessings. We receive those, don't we? We say, God, I'm going to receive it in my life. And by accepting that in our lives, we say, God, I am not going to live my life in such a way that I say I'm in charge, but I'm going to let you work through me. Thankful people do that. Living the thankful life, here's what it does. It puts you on a better place, a greater place, a higher plane, a plane that is not yours, but it's God's, that he lets you stand there with him. That's the life I want for you this Thanksgiving and this season. Father, we pray right now for those in this room who know you, but God, sometimes we want to take control ourselves, and we want to be in charge, and we want to be the boss, and we want to do it. God, help us to lay it at your feet and say, I'm going to trust you. Father, I pray for those who need to make other decisions, some who need to commit their lives to you, some who need to follow you in believer's baptism because they've already trusted you, some who need to connect to a church. God, we pray your blessing in these moments, and we trust you, God, to move as you see fit. In Jesus' name. Amen.